Welcome to this Black Girl Podcast. It is your girl, Lola, aka Ola.Miss.Lola. And I'm joined again by my lovely mister.
Hello, hello. Feeling the ASMR vibrations today.
Extra cozy, extra relaxed. Just hoping everyone had a wonderful Galentine's Day, whether that was with a partner, with family, with themselves, that they were feeling loved, you know? But just want to start off with a nice flavor before we pivot into a more, I guess, serious and deeper topic. Everybody and their mama has been watching the show Euphoria. I'm not even gonna pretend, oh yeah, I've been on that Euphoria train from jump. No, I haven't. I'm still not on the Euphoria train. Literally watched my first episode today, season 2, episode 6. But what I have been doing is getting caught up on everything that has been happening and getting all the recaps, so I'm still in the know and can understand what's going on without falling into something and having no clue what the hell it's about. A non-spoiler explanation of Euphoria for listeners who do not watch the show at all, don't know what the hell it's about.
That's me.
The protagonist, lead character, played by Zendaya. Her name is Rue, short for Ruby. She is a teenage drug addict. And the series revolves around her and her narrating the life, her life and the life of her friends within a certain time period. And you get to see in the show, essentially, like, you know, the dramas they face, the hardships they go through. Definitely centers and puts a focus on Rue's struggle to, you know, get sober, stay clean, relapsing, you know, going from quote unquote softer to harder drugs, and just like how that has an effect on everybody. And it's just been making me reflect because a lot of people are saying that, oh, the show is promoting drug use to the youth. And I was just like, bro, have you seen the show? No, it doesn't. It's very dark. And I would say, I don't want to say it's terrifying, but like, I couldn't see somebody romanticizing the relationships that those kids go through.
Right.
Yeah. Let alone younger kids. Like, it's wild to me. But then it also like made me kind of self-reflect on the relationships I've had with people who have struggled with drug addiction. And not necessarily something similar to Rue like opioids, but just lighter. I don't even want to say lighter because there's different degrees of stuff. But like just even people's struggles with alcoholism.
Right.
You know, like I know, unfortunately, too many people that struggle with drinking, you know, not having a great tolerance for alcohol, not having a limit, going out, acting a fool, not gonna lie, it definitely turned me off of the nightlife, just seeing, like, people who can't handle their alcohol.
Right.
You know, like, so when people are like, oh yeah, let's go out to the nightclub, let's go to a party, I'm like, ew, for what?
Yeah, I get that. I was also not a very big drinker. So among my friends and stuff like that, I ended up, you know, DDing a lot and not really enjoying the nightlife as much because, like, without that drink, it's tougher. It's definitely tougher, I think, to enjoy yourself when everyone else is drinking.
But here's a weird thing. I could go out. Like, I'm not going to act like, oh, I never drank, blah, blah, blah. I would go out. I would drink. But, like, there was nothing ever appealing to me about getting, like, drunk that I could not function properly.
Right.
You know, or that I would hurt myself or whatever. Like, I would drink and have a little buzz, you know, have a good time, dance, hang out with my friends. But like when I would see people that would get so drunk that they would get sick, that they couldn't walk, that they had to be like carried home, it just, if anything, it ruins my fucking, it ruins my high, if like, or it ruins my buzz. It definitely sobers me up.
Yeah, I've definitely had to take care of some friends that got a little too drunk, and it's never fun. Although I've also been that friend on once, one or two occasions.
I've been that friend once, and it was definitely not my proudest moment, but like, I also don't think it was my fault. I blame the edibles.
Oh, okay, fair.
I blame the edibles.
Whenever there's edibles involved, it's always questionable whose fault it is, yours or God's.
Right? Oh my gosh. But like, I remember the first time I've had, technically, okay, I have two first times of this type of situation.
I don't think that's how first times work, but please continue.
Thank you. So I guess the first-ish first time, was that the first time? Maybe.
Was it the first time or the second first time?
I don't know. You see, that's why I'm like, there's
first
two first time times.
A, first time B.
I can't place it exactly in my timeline, okay? In the OLU, Hola Miss Lola, see you, I don't know. Okay, so one time I can remember that was pretty earlier in my youth. Had a friend who drank too much. We were at a house party. Okay, I went with the guy that I was dating, brought my friend with me. We were having a good time. We were drinking, we were smoking a bit. People were, you know, drinking, smoking, doing whatever. There's people doing LSD. And like I said, I know my limit. So like, yeah, I'll smoke a little bit of weed. Sure. Yes, I'll have a little bit to drink. But like, I'm not going overboard. First of all, most of y'all are strangers. I don't know y'all like that. Second of all, it's not my alcohol. So like, I felt a little weird. Like, I'm not going to be drinking all people's alcohol. I don't know you. Like, it's, you know?
Yeah.
If anything, I was partying on the air of caution. The guy that I was seeing at the time, who was also our designated driver, was, he was drinking, he was smoking. I was just like, how you gonna drive us home, sir? I guess I'm gonna figure that out later. I look for my friend. My friend is in a couch. And I'm like, are you okay, man? Like, are you good? And they looked at me and they're like, bro, give me a bucket. I was like, oh no. I tried to look for it, and by the time I got to it, she was already like over the edge of the couch puking on the ground. And the thing is, I'll never forget it because it was a white couch and it was white carpet, and she was puking red wine. Yeah, I was like, ooh.
Sorry, house party host person.
Honestly, I will say though, shout out to that hostess because like, she was super cool. She was super understanding. She's like, oh, okay, it's all right. We'll be fine. Brought her to the bathroom. Okay. She's like, do you want? I'll never forget because I got the perspective of my drunk friend afterwards, which makes this moment funny. So like the hostess went, she got her water, got her bread, was checking in on her. She took the glass of water, dropped it, the glass broke. She cut her leg. I was like, okay, this is getting too out of control. At one point she was slumped in front of the door. We couldn't get in. I was like, bro. So at this point, I'm trying to look for a homeboy. I'm like, okay, we gotta exit stage left. This is getting too much. Of course, the only two black people at the house party is falling apart. What the fuck? So I look at homeboy. Homeboy looks at me. This guy's high off of LSD. He just looks at me with the biggest Cheshire cat grin. Like looking at me like I had 18,000 heads and they were all a different color. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. So then I call another friend who's at a different party on the other side of town. And I'm like, bro, you need to come and drive. You need to come and drive. Like, person A is in the bathroom thrown up, person B is high off LSD. I can't do all of this by myself. You gotta come through.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, bet, I'm coming. I was like, thank you, Jesus. He was already at a party where they had already, like, I think one or another DD. So that DD drove him here. He came here, I rounded up the sickos, okay? Crazy. Loaded them in the car. And he drove, that sick friend drove them home first. And then he drove himself afterwards. And then I drove me and homeboy to his house. And then we just kind of like called the night at and hated it. But from the sick friend's perspective, why I started giggling. Mm-hmm. So they're drunk in the bathroom. They're picking up the water. They drop the water like, oh shit. They didn't even realize they cut themselves. And they pick up the bread to eat because they're like, oh good, there's bread here. Great. Look at the bread, they're like, what the fuck is this bread? What the fuck is this bread? Because they had like multi-grade little pieces. It was like some kind of 12-grade bread. And she's like, what the fuck is this bread right now? I can't deal. And she just was like, they were in a fog. It was really funny.
That's the second unhealthy choice they made that night.
Right?
White only, please. You throw it in the toilet.
At least whole wheat, man. Like, with that, it's like
multigrain. That's good.
Yes, okay, but when you're.
It's got nuts and seeds in it.
But that's not the best thing to have when you're drunk. Like, the last thing you're thinking about is, like, the nutritional value.
It's high in fiber. It sounds really good to have when you're drunk.
The focus was not on fiber, okay? The focus was not on fiber. But, anyways, so that was instance one that I could remember, could never forget. The other first memory, I was out to a club and it was like one of the first times I was able to go out to a club and not have my mom jump down my throat about going.
Oh, okay.
And it was even sweeter because like I could bring my boyfriend. She hated my boyfriend. But because it was a family friend who invited me to the club, she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, well, just bring my boyfriend with me. He can, you know, pick me up, bring me home. You know who he is.
Yeah.
So she's just like, fine, you can go. Fine. I'm like, all right, bet. So we went. We were having a good time. Minding our business, having our drinks, dancing, whatever. Bro, the birthday girl, she was had her booth. Mm-hmm. Turning up in her booth, having a good time. I'm like, yeah, girl, you do your thing. Did a lap around the club, came back. She was passed out.
Wow.
Passed out. I don't even know how long I was. I don't even think I was that long. Slumped over, passed out, asleep, okay? Nobody could wake her up.
Oh, wow.
And the bouncer's like...
In the club.
Yes, the bouncer's...
The bouncer's gonna kick you out.
Yes, exactly. So the bouncer's like, bro, you gotta get her out. If you can't get her up, you gotta get her out. She can't stay. And so we're like, what the fuck are we gonna do? So she's well, that's the booth. It's a birthday. She was so knocked that like four people, okay... One holding each leg and one holding each arm had to carry her out the back door of the club and into a car. She disappeared for the rest of the night. I haven't seen her since.
You know the secret you gotta do there? You just grab a chair and you just pretend she's Jewish. You just walk her
out. Oh my gosh, stop. No, she would have slept over. She would have fell out.
I'm joking.
I'm dead. But no, the joke is I literally have not seen her since that night.
Really?
It's been over 10 years.
Oh wow.
Oh my gosh. Oh, shout outs to her though. She's good though.
She's haunting the booth now.
Oh no, like I still see her on like, you know, social media or whatever, so I know she's fine. But I haven't like physically seen her since that.
Oh, okay, got you.
Oh my gosh. Do you have any stories like that?
Honestly, for me, probably one of the worst, like, people got, had a little bit too much to drink story. Mm-hmm. I remember going out and doing some karaoke in Toronto.
Yeah.
With some friends. Friends got a little too drunk. One of them tackled the other one.
What?
and split his lips so bad that we had to actually go to, like, Toronto General and get him stitches.
Ugh.
And it was just the worst because it was like, yeah, we're gonna go home. We're gonna go back soon. We're gonna call it a night. And then just, like, drunk friend is too drunk, starts acting out. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, you're stuck a few cities over until, like, 8 a.m. the next day.
Yep.
Because the hospitals take a while to get to you, even in the dead night.
Yep. Because that's when all the problematic people come out to play. The police arrest people, bring them into the hospital and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Oh, my gosh. But, like, okay, with that being said, I know, like, we've been giggling and laughing about the situation, but, like, kind of going back to the focus at hand, it's, like, those moments, okay, fun, haha, whatever, you know, people brush them off, they move on from them, it doesn't define them, thankfully, but there are some people where it definitely does.
Right.
Like, there are some people who will start, you know, drinking as early as, like, 10 a.m. in the morning, 9 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or who are still drunk from the night before.
Right.
And I don't know, like, it just, I don't want to say I pity anyone, because, like, I don't want anybody to think, like, I pity them for having a disease or having a problem, because, like, I understand. When I was younger, I did not understand that, like, alcoholism is a disease and a problem. I always thought it was, like, oh, you just don't have self-control.
Yeah, it was a moral failing, not a health issue.
Right. And yeah. As I've gotten older, I've understood that, you know, it is a health failing that is also, like, triggered by, just can be triggered by anything.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of, like, you know, any type of anything. Oh, you're having a celebration? Oh, yeah, let's drink. Gets drunk. Falls off, breaks their lip, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they didn't get a good test score in school, or they got into a fight with their partner, or it's, you know, they lost their job, and it was just like falling into that situation all the time.
Yeah, I remember listening to Loveline with Dr. Drew way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a host who struggled with alcoholism, did this whole rehab 12 steps or whatever.
Yeah.
He was talking about, he was watching Mad Men, and there was an episode where there's a bunch of drinking, and he just had, like, it just captured that feeling so well of, like, wanting to drink but knowing you can't.
Okay.
And it just, like, really got to him, and it was 100%, like, it was very triggering for him, he's talking about it. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
You're so funny. I mean, I definitely understand the idea and the concept of, like, I'm upset about something, therefore I want to. I've always thought of, like, people who drank just to drink as, like, you're putting a band-aid on a problem. There's a problem, there's an issue you haven't healed from, a problem you're struggling with, and rather than dealing with the trauma or that issue, you just put a band-aid on it with alcohol. I know it's way more than that and a lot more complex. Like, that kind of definition is much easier. But the reason I was even thinking about this was because there was a part in the episode where the main character, Rue, her sister, she has a younger sister, and they were talking to, family friend, person, or whatnot. I don't want to do too many spoilers or anything like that.
A confidant.
A confidant of some sort. And they were discussing, you know, the struggle that her sister has been dealing with in terms of, you know, getting clean, staying sober, issues, lashing out, whatever. And she was trying to play it off like, oh, it's fine. You know, she wants to get clean. That's all that matters. Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, you know, it's okay for you to be angry.
Right.
And they were like, oh, well, who said I was angry? I never said I was angry. You know, trying to play it off like, no, like, that's not how I feel. And they were like, no, like, it's totally a normal, reasonable feeling to be upset and to, you know, have your faith diminish a little bit in a person when they don't, you know, meet your expectations, or when they let you down, they disappoint you. You're like, and having that, I don't know, I guess almost like it was like a little light switch moment for myself.
Right.
Just because, I normally, you know me, like, I'm normally, like, either very happy cracking jokes, or I'm, like, pissed off and I'm mad. And I don't always, like, float in between that middle ground of feelings. So, like, having that kind of reminder that was, like, you're allowed to be disappointed in people was, like, you know what? Yeah. That's true. I am allowed to be disappointed in people. That doesn't mean I need to disrespect them. That doesn't mean I need to degrade them. But, like, I can... I'm allowed to feel disappointed in somebody's, like, you know, perceived or possible lack of effort.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. That's the tricky thing about feelings is, like, you can't really make yourself feel something. Like, it's an automatic response, right?
Yeah.
So... You can't exactly just be like, oh, I'm not going to feel disappointed in someone. Like, that's not really a thing you can do.
No, for sure. But a lot of times you kind of tend to, like, stuff feelings down because you're trying to think of the bigger picture. And you're also, like...
I think what you mean to say is that you tend to stuff feelings down because you're trying to think of the bigger picture.
Well, yes. You're trying not to think of the bigger picture. And you're trying to not... Because I feel like sometimes when... your feelings take center stage on a situation that may not call for it, you're therefore deemed as selfish. Like, oh, this person's struggling and you have the audacity to be upset and disappointed. How selfish of you to not be considering their feelings. Or the fact that they'll know that you're disappointed in them will make them feel worse and will send them into a further spiral. And I don't know, it made me relate a lot with her sister's character because, like, I've definitely been in that situation where I've seen, like, the spiraling, the lack of control, the trauma, the hurt, the bad decisions, and I felt disappointed, but it's like I've had to hold myself back because it's like I don't want to shit on them further.
Yeah, I definitely could see how that's a tough situation to be in. I don't know. I don't have much to say because, like, I don't really feel like I've been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I 100% have, like, never experienced disagreements with people and have been disappointed in them. It's just, like, not... I guess I feel like I've never had to, like, worry about their feelings afterwards about it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I've been in a couple shitty situations, but, like, one, I'm not even gonna discuss that one on the show, just cause, like, it's very triggering for me.
Okay.
And those feelings are very real. Like, that day, what happened, I had to, like, have a conversation with God. And have him literally walk me off the edge of beating the living shit out of somebody.
Okay, well, you can't be like, I'm not gonna talk about it and then make it sound like the juiciest story in the world.
I mean, you know what? If
please still give us 5-star reviews, no 1-star reviews. You don't need this kind of crap.
No,
back.
I was gonna say, if you guys really want to know that tea, sign up on Patreon. If there's at least enough Patreons on there and I see you guys signing up, even if it's for just $1, I'll post it as a bonus feature.
Okay. Yes. Story time.
Yes. That story time for sure. Because, like, just thinking about it just, like, puts heat in my chest.
Oh, okay. Really steams your broccoli.
Ew, no. I hate that saying so much. It's so mushy. Like, ooh. Oh,
well, that's why it's not good. It's not good.
I guess so. But yeah, but with that being said, it's like, it's a weird place to be that kind of person where it's like, I want to support you and I want you to do well and I want you know, all these good, happy, positive things for you, but then you see the person, and sometimes it doesn't have to even relate to disease. It can even be like a person or a friend or somebody who makes poor decisions, and you want what's best for them, you want to support them, but then they make these poor decisions, you're disappointed, but it's like you don't want to make them feel even worse by expressing that disappointment. So it's like, it's a weird place to be in.
Yeah, I think it's a weird, I definitely understand that, but I don't know, maybe for me it's just that, like, I've never really had someone rely on me while I was being so disappointed in them until, like, later in my life, where I kind of recognized that sometimes it's hard to tell if you just need to hold your tongue, and sometimes it's hard to tell if you are trying to help the person in a way that they're not receptive to. Because sometimes people will confuse those two things.
I agree. I definitely agree. But I've also learned, and I've learned the hard way, like, when people talk to you, they're not always talking to you in an effort to be like, let's crowdsource this issue and figure out how to figure out the issue. Like, sometimes I understand some people are just talking just to talk, just to vent. Sometimes they don't want a solution, and it's like, it's, and they just want to put it out there into the ether, and like, that's great. But then on the receptive side of it, it's kind of hard to be like, how, like, it's hard for, at least for myself, it's hard for me to say nothing when I'm hearing like a sad, disappointing situation happening, and then not being able to say like, bro, that really sucks that that happened to you. Or like, you know, I really hope you exert your boundaries next time, because that gets misinterpreted as that's what you need to do to fix the situation.
Yeah. And that can definitely be frustrating, because sometimes it's like, well, I don't know. For me, I think a lot of times people have a better understanding of their problems than maybe people want to give them credit.
Mm-hmm. But then, okay, so if somebody has a better understanding of their problems that they give credit for, then why do they keep making the same poor fucking decisions?
Because it's a problem. Like, if they made better decisions, it wouldn't be a problem.
I mean, yes, you're right. Like, you're right, you're right. You, like, man, like, I don't know. I just, the, not to meme this, but like, the empath in me wants people to, without shame, address their trauma and address their issues and address their health, whether that's physical, mental, otherwise.
Yeah, but here's the rub of the situation, right? Sometimes you'll see someone and it feels like, oh, you keep on making the same mistakes, but actually, like, if you were in their situation, they're making the right decision. It just looks like a mistake to you because you don't have all the information, or you don't know what they're going through, or whatever. Like, you know,
it's a matter of perspective.
There's a lot of people who are there's a lot of people who are currently addicted to something or using it to basically self-medicate.
Right.
And like, sometimes that self-medication is warranted. Sometimes they're actually going through some tough shit, and it's not that they're like doing this and destroying their health. They're like doing this to like preserve themselves with bad side effects.
I mean,
and people are, especially people who are like much more judgmental about it, are not willing to accept that as an answer a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And that's when you can get into some really explosive situations.
I can definitely get behind that. Just because, like, for example, even just with like mom friends, I encourage most mom friends to enjoy weed. Whether that is smoking, edibles, drinkables, once in a while. I'm not saying to be half-baked, but, you know, sometimes dealing with 1, 2, 3, 5 children can be overwhelming.
Yeah, don't come out as TOS. It's legal in Canada. Get out of here.
That is true. I have to, full disclaimer, we are living in Canada, It is a legal substance to use. It is sold by our province.
It is legal for recreational use.
Yes, and medical use. So I usually will occasionally, depending on the individual, encourage, you know, just try it. See how it works. Because, like, I know sometimes when people are very overwhelmed, you make snap decisions, you don't think it through, you know. And I usually say, like, you know, just take the edge off. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling a little prickly, take the edge off, mellow out. And usually for the mom friends that I do have, it's a savior. I don't want to say godsend, but, like, it definitely helps that situation of, you know, high angst, a lot of anxiety, a lot of overstimulation. And I know that helps a lot of people in general who struggle with, you know, depression, anxiety, everything in between. Even people who struggle with just, like, digestive issues, being able to eat and not feel sick afterwards, you know? There's medicinal uses for medication. Or for what's considered drugs, I should say.
Right.
You know? So, it's like, I understand what works for some people may not work for others, and that the ones that do work for some people, you shouldn't judge them. But where I find, like, where I guess my personal judgment comes from is, like, are you using, and your use of, I don't know, substances, whatever you use for self-harm, because it doesn't have to just be substances. It could be actions, people, things, whatever. Does that impede your day-to-day living? Does that, impede your day-to-day life? Does that prevent you from, you know, handling things in your home, with your job, with your social life, your friends? Like, I feel like if it doesn't, then it's fine. But, like, when it does, then, like, I feel like it's something that needs to be addressed somehow.
I mean, it can definitely be tough, because even if you think of, like, I know this is not necessarily what people usually think about when they think of addicts, but, like, let's be real, there's a lot of drug use in, like, the restaurant industry. There's a lot of drug use in the finance industry, stock traders and stuff like that. And those are people who, like, yeah, they may be put in a situation where, like, the substances might help them function better at work,
yeah,
but not perform better in other situations. And that's when, like, it gets really tough, because it's not as clean cut as, like, oh, it's damaging your life.
But that is pretty clear, because it's like, yes, okay, it may help you get an edge performing, you know, at work, but if your personal life, you know, if your personal life and your social life, you're suffering because of that excess use or that abuse, the question then becomes, like, is the job worth it, even to, like, you know, if the job is putting you in a situation where you're abusing drugs, you're becoming addicted to a substance that is now harming other aspects of your life, is it really worth it?
I mean, some people don't really necessarily have that choice of, like, is it worth it, and just, like, uproot and quit.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm never going to act like it's an easy turnaround, one-step switch, and it's fixed. Like, I know, especially drug abuse and struggles with, like, substances is not an easy one day overnight fix. It is something that will take people lifetimes to get over and to get through. But, like, my question is, like, because it's different for most people, but in general, like, what is that first step? Like, I know a lot of people say, oh, you have to get to rock bottom to start or whatever, but it's like, why does it have to be rock bottom? And if it does, like, is that where you have to be in order to, like, turn your life around?
I think that the reason why people say you have to hit rock bottom is because a lot of times when you're addicted to a substance, mm-hmm. like, you kind of trick yourself into taking more of it. You know what I mean? Like, you use this kind of, like, weird
backwards logic that makes sense to you, because it ultimately like gets you what you're, what you want or what your body wants, whatever. But so I think that's part of the reason why people talk about hitting rock bottom, because it's like, it's more of like a space that you can't try to like squirm your way out of.
Yeah.
You know, like things become so apparently bad that you can't like logic your way into having another spoke or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or taking another hit.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Well, then my question to you is, let's say we're going to invent a person. We're not inventing Anna, though I watched it on Netflix. Meh. We're going to invent a person. They have, let's say, their struggle. Let's semi-use Rue's character. Struggling with opiates, very aggressive, very toxic, saying very mean things during like a manic high, then withdrawal, pulled the knives out, said some really shit things you can't take back that are extremely hurtful. Now they're saying, guess what? I'm turning my life around. I'm getting clean. I'm going to go to rehab. Will you be there to support me? What's your answer?
I mean, I guess that it depends on my relationship with the person.
Like, let's say that they were a friend. Like, let's say they were a good friend.
If we were still friends, I would obviously try to support my friends no matter what they're doing.
Especially
if it's something nice, like trying to improve themselves, like getting over an addiction. And if you're gonna say either they said something, if they said something really nasty, we wouldn't be friends.
But this is my...
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I understand euphoria is with people in high school, but I'm not in high school anymore. I will end my relationship with you.
Okay, but you're not listening to me then. This person is your friend. They're a good friend, even though they're a little toxic, during a manic high and withdrawal. So this is when the substance, the drugs, whatever, is taking them over. And they say some really mean shit, pull out the knives and say something very hurtful. And then, like, I don't know, 24, 48 hours later, they're like, I said things, you know, I was really high, I said things, whatever, but I'm going to go to rehab, I'm going to get clean, will you be there to support me?
I don't know. There's so many question marks on this, I don't even know if I feel like, I don't know what I would say. At the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of what ifs. Like, would I want to be there to support somebody? Yeah. Could someone say something bad enough to me that I wouldn't give a shit? Yes.
I mean, that's...
So, like, yeah, I don't know.
That's fair. Like, I mean, if somebody says something very hurtful that I know they can't take back, and no matter what way that they were in, that I can't look at them the same because of what they said, then, like, my answer would be, I need to support you from afar. Just, like, know that I won't come visit you. I may not call you. I won't text you back. But just know that even though we're not talking, I wish you well. Like you always love to say, walk away with my blessing.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to be one of those.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know. Because I mean that even with like certain friends that I have now, I have friends that I don't really talk to and we don't have anything. It's just like there's no malicious intent, but it's just like the type of person that you are or that you're into. Like I'm not there anymore. It doesn't do it for me.
I mean, all joys are temporary, right?
I mean, I guess, but like, I don't know. For me,
I just mean to say that, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people want to cry over the fact that things don't last forever, but nothing lasts forever. All joys are temporary. If you're gonna cry about that, then you should never stop crying.
I mean, I can agree. I don't know. I just, like, I feel like I've grown out of a lot of things. I don't think I'm above doing certain things because it's like I used to do it. It just doesn't interest me in the same way anymore. And I do resent the fact when I have people and friends tell me, like, oh, you're boring. Oh, you're this. You're boring now because I don't do, like, certain things I used to do before, like clubbing or whatever. And I'm like... Okay.
Bro, like, I think that's especially weird to bust out now when it's like, bro, the whole world is boring. Like, everyone's been fluctuating between lockdowns. Like, what have you been doing?
But the joke is, it's like, I don't find myself boring. Like, Like, and it's like not even to be in a toot my own horn vanity kind of way, but like, I know how to entertain myself. I know, like, if I want to do something, if I want to create a set of nails, I can create a set of nails. If I want to sew an outfit, I can sew an outfit. Like, there's so many things that I can do with myself in my space that entertains me that, like, I can never be bored.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
What's that old saying, if you're bored, then you're boring?
Thank you. I guess that's what that is, because, like, I don't know, and maybe that makes me more of an ambivert, because I do like being out with people and I do like being social, but like, I can totally be fine with myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know, and there's some people who really can't, who are like, oh my gosh, I need to go out and do this, I need to go out to this thing, I need to go out and party, and I'm like, party with what? For who? Like, you, like, honestly... This is why I'm like, yo, if you're taking me out to the club, you have to turn me into Cardi B and pay me. Because, like, why am I going to pay to go into a loud room full of music with overpriced liquor surrounded by a bunch of strangers? That's not an experience I want to pay for. At least that doesn't sound like an experience I want to pay for. Some people do, and that's fine. But just, it doesn't sound like a good time to me.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It never really sounded like a good time to me either. I didn't do a lot of clubbing.
I don't know. I'm a bitch who likes brunch now. Like,
yeah, brunch is fun.
You want me to pay for something? I'll pay for brunch. Like, having some bubbly and some good food and just, you know, chat with your girls, chat with your man, do whatever. That's where the fuck I am.
I feel that.
You know, have a little music in the background. Like, that... That so it's like
every millennial, you're there for some avocado toast.
Yeah, fuck the avocado toast. I can't eat that shit. I can't eat it. But like, replace the dance floor with a cute table and like centerpieces, and I'm there. And some food, actually, I should say, cute tables, centerpieces, and some food, I'm there. But everything else, seeing like guys who would fight at the end of the night because they're drunk, the police come, like, oh my gosh. There was a night I was out with a friend for their birthday. We were, you know, we were having drinks, whatever. Somebody came to the bar, bought us drinks, it was fine. We went out, we were talking shit, we saw some random strangers, we were just shooting the shit, having fun. And another group of strangers was also trying to hit on us. And we're shooting the shit with them too, because we didn't care. We were just out gallivanting, whatever.
Yep.
And these two sets of guys got into a fight with each other in the middle of the intersection. And I was like, what? And they were like, just let's go. Let's just go. Let's pretend like, you know, we ran away like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Double backed a couple blocks and like cut through. But it was just so like it's wild to have the story, yes, but like, I don't leave my house to get a story. I leave my house to have a good experience. And that's not
like. You leave your house to get bite-sized cupcakes.
Right? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. If that calls me boring, then I'm boring, darling. Oh my gosh. But I'm gonna leave us with this, but I do want to say, and I want to address, because it would be irresponsible if I did not, if you or a loved one you know is suffering due to, you know, any type of disease, self-harm, drugs, substance abuse, etc., anything that could fall into that category, just know you and they are not alone, and that there are multiple resources that can be reached and connected to in order to get that first step and that first help that they may need.
Right.
And with that being said, I am your girl, ola.miss.lola. You can find me on the Instagram, or you can follow our page. Follow our page for some great intermediate content between episodes at This Black Girl Podcast on IG. If you really want to support the show and keep it growing and flourishing, follow us on Patreon for as low as a dollar. Again, patreon.com/thisblackgirlpodcast. Again, it has been your girl Lola. It has been the Mister. And have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.